chapter 1. And we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we thank you for a day, Lord, that we can just be grateful and thankful that we have a father here, Lord, and an earthly father, but we can also be thankful and that we have a heavenly father, and we should be thankful for that every day, Lord, and same with our earthly fathers, and we're just so grateful for our earthly fathers, and we're so grateful for you, Lord. And Father, now we pray as we go through your words that our hearts would be tender to them, and that we would just be mindful of them and have a willingness to do them, Lord. And it's a tough battle that we face every day, and we pray that we would just have boldness for thee and fight the good fight. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. Last week we finished up verse 4 of 1 John chapter 1. And so far in 1 John we have seen a few things here. We've seen that Jesus Christ is the manifestation of eternal life. Not only life. We not only saw his life manifest, we see that through the writings of the Gospels and the Apostles, but his Jesus Christ is the manifestation of eternal life. But not only that, but you can have fellowship with this Jesus Christ, and not only with Jesus Christ, but you can have fellowship with God the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but you can not only that have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, but you can also have fellowship amongst believers. And that's a good thing, and we need that here on this earth. I mean, we need help from each other. We need a lifting up. We need exhortation from each other. But we need to be a help to each other. And that's a great blessing that the Lord gives us. But not only can you have fellowship with each other, but in the first in a couple verses in 1 John, we've seen that you can have full joy while you're alive on this earth. And this joy is found in the writings, found in not only the Bible, folks. It's found in the Bible, but it's also found in specific writings such as what the apostles wrote. Okay? And so and we got to be careful that we just don't point to men with these writings. And we got to remember that these men were moved by the Holy Ghost to speak. They were holy men, but they were moved by the Holy Ghost to speak of these things. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he said some things to his apostles, and his apostles remembered those things. And how do you think they remembered them? They remembered them because they were promised a comforter would come when Jesus left. And that comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, one of his jobs is that he's promised to do for us is to bring back to our remembrance, the things that the apostles heard of Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, in John 14, 26. The Bible says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." Praise the Lord. Yay. Is that like a robot? Take your time. I know. I hope that's not my recording. It sounds too good to be a voice for me. Get it? Okay. Praise the Lord. We're going to read that here in a little bit. 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring back to remembrance the things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so John is writing these things down. He's writing these things down. Look, if you would, in verse 5. 1 John, verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him. Okay? And so they heard these things of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is getting the credit here because he's bringing it back to their remembrance. Okay? And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness of all, at all. Okay? God is light. And this matches, folks, what is said back in the Gospel of John. Look, if you would, in John 1, starting in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The life of Jesus Christ was the only way for men to see God. It was the only way. Because God is light, the Bible says, and in him is no darkness at all. And because God is so holy, and because God is so pure and so righteous, no man can approach unto that light. Look, if you would, in 1 Timothy, Paul says this. Paul got a glimpse of Jesus Christ in his glory, and it blinded him. It blinded him. But what he's saying here, 1 Timothy 6, verse 15. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 14, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Where's this light found? In God. In God. And God, you know what God did? God the Father, He covered himself with the body of Jesus Christ. He put on a covering so that you can see God. Isn't that something? And came down on the earth. And the apostles saw him, and so did a lot of other people. But God covered himself with the body of Jesus Christ so that men could see the image of God. Because you couldn't see that. You wouldn't be able to see it. No man could approach unto this light. It's so bright, so pure. And so he did that so that the Gentiles and the Jews could see the Lord's salvation. Look, if you would, in Luke. Jesus Christ is the Lord's salvation, folks. Luke chapter 2, verse 28. The Bible says, who's this guy here? Let me look back here. Is it Eli? I can't remember who this guy is. But there's somebody here. Who is it? Yeah, Simeon. Yep. And here's a man, just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So that's who we're talking about here, right? And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He's ready to go. Huh? Because why? Depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. They've seen it, salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Praise the Lord. It was always in God's plan for the Gentiles to get in on this. If the Jew first, and also to the Greek, right? Salvation was for the Jew first and also to the Greek. You find that in Romans. But God covers himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the light. We find that in John, in the Gospel of John. He is the light, which is, the Bible says, the true light. The true light, capital L, that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. So God, which is light, 1 John 1:5, is said to have clothed himself with light. The Lord Jesus Christ, right? Look, if you would, in Psalms. Psalms 104, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. That's Jesus Christ. Because God is light, and you can't approach unto that. And now he's got a covering on him, which is light, that you can see. Praise the Lord, huh? So, the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside is light, and on the outside is light, but you can see that light. God allows us to see that. And that's God manifest in the flesh. And the Bible says, and in him is no darkness at all. There's nothing wicked in the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. Nothing. Nothing at all. There's nothing sinful in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil, the prince of this world, is destined for outer darkness. And he has no part whatsoever in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, in John. It's got no part. John 14, verse 29. The Bible says, And now have I told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. He has nothing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that prince, the prince of this world, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, right? That's who we're talking about here. He wants to prevent all those that believe not the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's Jesus Christ. He gives every man light. He lights every man, the Bible says. And some people get some things about Jesus Christ in some ways, and some people get other things about Jesus Christ in other ways, but he gives every man light about himself. Every man. And when a person chooses not to believe that, here comes the prince. Right? He comes up. And now he's going to blind that person from ever trying to get, from ever getting that gospel. And that's his job. The devil wants every unsaved person in darkness, which were some of you, some of me, all of me, really, right? But some of you, and some of us. If you're not saved, then you're still in darkness, and I'm not talking about you, right? You're still in darkness, but there's some of us that were in this darkness, folks. We were in this darkness, and the devil wants everybody to stay there, especially those that have rejected that light that Jesus Christ gave them, that gave every man. Look, if you would, in Ephesians 5. Verse 8. The Bible says, For ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Not only were you in darkness, you were darkness. Isn't that something? That's how the Bible words that. And if you've gotten saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are light. You are light. And that's according to Ephesians 5:8. If you're saved, you are light. You're part of Jesus Christ, which is the light of the world, the true light. And the Bible says we're to walk. We're to walk as the children of light. And this is what John is getting into here. He's not getting into you're saved by your works. He's not getting into that. He's getting into you're saved and we're to live like that. We're to live like you're saved. You're to live like you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look, if you would, in John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And so verses 6 through 10 is a group together. Notice that. We. Verse 7, we. Verse 8, we. Verse 9, we. Verse 10, we. And so, who is John talking to here? Who is John talking to? Now, there are some certain questions you need to ask yourself when you're reading the Bible. Who is he talking to? Whom is it written? To whom is he talking to, right? That's just two questions you should ask yourself. And you should have an answer for that. And the Bible should give you that answer. Not man. The Bible should give you that answer. And we've already seen who John is talking to. And he puts himself in there. Now, how many do you believe that John was saved? A saved man? I believe he was. Look at what he wrote. Look at what the Lord did through him. Look at what he's confessing. Right? He's confessing Jesus Christ as the Lord. And so, look if you would in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. There's some other words he's going to write in here that is going to give you an understanding that he's not talking about Christians. He's talking about somebody else, the infamous they. How many of you guys have ever heard, well, they did this and they did that? Well, who's they? Right? Look, if you would, in the 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. Right? What was he talking about? Verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Right? You're unsaved, and you're not for Christ, and you're not with Christ, and you're not in Christ. You're an antichrist. You're an antichrist. And you're an unsaved person. That's an antichrist, folks. Okay? Somebody that doesn't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. Like most people of the world. The Bible doesn't lie when it says broad is the way that leadeth to destruction and many there be that go in there, or something like that. Many go there. And narrow is the gate of righteousness and few there be that find it. The Bible's not lying when it says that. But you find this word they, and it's describing unsaved people. And so here he uses we in 1 John, and it's describing saved people, folks. Saved people, okay? Verse 6, If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now again, we've discussed this before in previous lessons. There's a difference here between the practical aspect of the scripture and the doctrinal view of the scripture, okay? And John here is giving us the practical side. He's giving us the practical view. The hyper-dispensationalists, they don't like these verses. Why? Because they want to live like the devil. They're all grace, 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 grace. We've been saved by grace, and we're all forgiven of all our sins. And so we can live any way we want, and it doesn't matter. We're going to be saved in the end. Well, Paul says, God forbid. Shall we continue in sin, right? And that doesn't come from Paul. That comes from the Holy Spirit speaking through him. It does. So what's true? The Bible's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Every man a liar. And so, but they want to live like the devil, folks. They want to live their lives the way they want to live and do whatever they want and then run over to grace and say, look, see? And it's just a justification to live like the devil. and we're not to do that. The Bible gives us instructions not to do that. Okay? And John here, he's not concerned with grace. He's concerned with our practical daily walk, the daily walk of every believer, having fellowship with the Father, having fellowship with the Son, and having fellowship with each other, and everything centering around Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. That's what he's concerned with. And so let me ask you, can a Christian doctrinally walk in darkness? No, he's in the light. He's in the light. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, how can he walk in darkness? If he's in the light, how can he walk in darkness? Right? Ye are light. If you've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, which there's no darkness in his kingdom, how can you walk in darkness? How can you be in darkness? Right? Look, if you would, in Colossians. We have been translated. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1, verses 13. Did I miss it? Verse 13, the Bible says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Right? But practically, folks, day by day, we can walk in darkness, just as the old man, our old man, walked in darkness. Look, if you would, in Ephesians 4. 4:22. The Bible says that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Hey, when you lie to another Christian, you're lying to the body of Christ. And not only do you hurt yourself, but you hurt the whole body. Hey, think about it now. This analogy was given once before. If I'm swinging a hammer and I hit my hand with that hammer, or hit my little finger with that hammer, or my thumb, usually you see a guy walking around with a black thumb because that's what he did. Folks, the thumb is hurting really bad, but the whole body is affected. And the whole body is going through that pain and feeling that pain. Okay? And so when we do this to one another, we do it to the whole body. The whole body's affected. And that's why we're instructed not to do these things. But he can't walk in, practically, you can walk in darkness every day by what you do. And now, here we're told to put off the old man. In Ephesians, we're told to put off the old man. Now, think for a little bit here, for a little moment here. If you couldn't still practically walk in darkness as the old man, then why is Paul giving you instructions to put him off if it can't be done? Right? So practically, it can be done. Doctrinally, it's impossible. Practically, it's done every day by Christians. And so, doctrinally, the old man is crucified. He's dead. Romans 6:6. But practically, we have to put him off day by day. We carry around the old flesh, right? It hasn't been redeemed yet. Your spirit's been redeemed. Your soul hasn't been redeemed completely. And neither has your body. And one day they will be. Who do you think makes the decision to tell your body what to do? It's not the Spirit. The Spirit always wants to do right. The Spirit is joined with the Holy Spirit. It's the soul, the will, that makes that decision to tell your members, ooh, go do this, go do this. Or it makes the decision to go to the walk in the light that the Holy Spirit wants you to walk in. And he gives us instructions through his words to do so. And so, doctrinally, every born-again Christian is in the kingdom of light. But what John is saying here, and remember, John has the Pauline epistle. He's got the scriptures. He knows the doctrinal issues here. And what he's saying is that, yeah, you're in the kingdom of light, but practically, we have to walk that way. We have to walk that way. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6. The Bible says in verse 14, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believed with an infidel?" Okay? And so what these verses are saying here is that you and I can have fellowship with unrighteousness. We can. Or he wouldn't be giving you instructions not to be unequally yoked with that. Right? You can have fellowship with unrighteous, but what is that going to make you? You're going to be in an unrighteous condition. Right? A Christian can have fellowship with the world. A Christian can have fellowship with the works, evil works. They can. And that's why we're given these instructions. And so, now John, he doesn't make the distinction between the doctrinal here and the practical here. He doesn't make that distinction. He's got the Pauline scriptures. He knows you know about, you're forgiven of all your sins. The old man is crucified. And what he's trying to show you is the practical side here. And what the hyperdispensationals say is that this has to apply to tribulation and to people that are going through that tribulation. Why? Because he fails to see the context here. And the context is fellowship and full joy during your Christian life on earth. That's what it is. And here in verse 6, you find a man that makes a profession with his mouth. Look at what it says, 1 John. 1 John 1:6, the Bible says, "If we say," here's that business with a man honoring God with his mouth,
But his works, they don't line up with what his mouth is saying. And folks, it's our duty to not allow the old man to go back to the old ways. It's our duty, right? And sure, we have this baggage of the old man to carry around with us the rest of our lives on this earth. But one day we're going to get this new body, and he's not going to be a factor anymore. And praise the Lord for that. But we have been given freedom to go in the way of righteousness. The moment you got saved, you were separated from that body. Your soul was separated, and the spirit is joined with the Lord, and you are given this freedom, and that's found in Romans 6:13 and 14. Now, do we really want to be the Christian that honors God with our mouths? Honors God with our mouths, but our heart is far from him? Do we want to be that Christian? And I'm asking you that. I'm asking myself that. Because this is a struggle that we all have. I don't know about you, but I have it quite often. And it's very difficult. It's a difficult thing, but we can have victory through Jesus Christ. And John has shown us how to do so. And if we are going to have fellowship together, if we're going to have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, let me ask you this. Would you allow me to come over to your house and sit down with your family, and as I'm smoking a cigarette, coming through your door, sitting down, puffing away in your house, would you allow me to do that? How about if I put the cigarette out and just take out the flask, peppermint schnapps, right? Would you allow me to do that? What if I put those things away and just started talking with profanity right in your living room amongst your whole family? Now think about that for a second. That fellowship isn't going to go very far, right? It's not going to last too long before I get the boot. Right? What about if I just start gossiping and backbiting other Christians? Huh? See, it goes beyond just the physical things, right? Goes to beyond the profanity and this and this. It goes into speaking evil of your brother, right? All that stuff, folks. But what about lying? Lying with each other. Lying about things. See, with Christians, it seems like there's certain sins that are okay, but certain sins are not okay. And we need to be mindful that, hey, Christians could have fellowship with other Christians in darkness. Do you know that? Now, how far do you think that's going to last when you go to the Father with prayer? When I go to the Lord, do I make sure that I'm not sinning? I can't be sinning and go talk to the Lord. I can't. It just can't be done, folks. He's not going to allow it. He's not going to allow it. And so we just got to think about these things for a little bit. Can we go to the Son and pray to the Lord Jesus while we're committing sin, while we're smoking on that token on a cigarette or drinking or backbiting? No, you can't. And you know what that means, folks? That means that you can never, never experience full joy and have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son and have fellowship with other believers as long as you're in sin and committing sins and walking in darkness. It can't be done. You cannot have this full joy. And we'll go ahead and stop there. We'll get into verse 7 and 8 and 9 next week. But wonderful truths. And man, we just got to keep up the fight, folks. It's a battle. It is. The flesh just wants to do what it wants to do, but we've got the power. Christ, Jesus Christ, gives us that power. He's made it separate so that we can make that choice and we can choose not to go that way and go
walk in the way of light. And we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words and the promises you give us, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that we would just see the things that you're talking about here in John, in 1 John, and try to do. And we need your help too, Lord. But we need to do these things, Lord, in order to experience the joy that you want us to have on this earth and fellowship with you. And we can't have joy without fellowship with you. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. And yeah, we might have enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but when it comes down to the what we're doing and what we're missing out with you, and it just not even doesn't even compare. And Father, we just pray that we would have a willing heart to obey your words. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.